And we're live.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Brian, and I am here with Andrew and Aaron, and you are listening to another podcast of Masters of the Galaxy. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
We're talking He-Man.
We're talking He-Man every week. Let's just get right into it, man. I saw something cool. It's been out for like a week or so. That awesome Skeletor commercial from the UK. To me, besides the theme song, I thought it was a great commercial. I don't know if you guys caught it though. I don't know if that's supposed to be Panther, that little cat that Skeletor frightens. If you go back and rewatch it. I don't know if it's supposed to be Panther or not, but it's like a little kitten, cat, or whatever. But yeah, it was cool to have that, and then He-Man, of course, it was really cool.
Yeah,
definitely unexpected, and then definitely I didn't hear nothing of it, so it definitely came from left field.
Yeah, it was cool to see him back in the limelight. Like, I mean, that somebody is out there thinking creative things,
right?
Skeletor and He-Man and Masters. That was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And it was cool, too. Like, the beginning of the commercial, Skeletor is actually in Snake Mountain, you know, plotting his fame dancing song, I guess you could say. But it was really cool to have that out, you know.
You don't think that's the inside of the house?
Because
I figured that was the inside of the house, and it looked very Snake Mountain-ish. But, like, his home is his castle.
It very could be. I mean, it very could be. But it kind of looked like Snake Mountain in the beginning, because I got the Showbox app, and that's where I saw it, and they gave you like a description of it before I watched it, so I read it, and they were like, you know, Skeletor's and Snake Mountain. It kind of looked like it. I mean,
he's got the big bed, he's got the candles, but he breaks down the door at the house. I always just kind of figured that his home is his castle, you know.
Yeah, right. No,
and he grinds in front of that like old lady, and then you're like, okay.
No, you know what it is? I think it is a house, a home or whatever, but I think they kind of like made that first opening scene to look like Snake Mountain, and then the lights come on and it turns to his house. So it was cool. It was definitely cool.
Yeah, I was checking out. There's an ad campaign thing about it that I just was reading. It says, Skeletor leaves his candlelit man cave feeling after saving on Money Supermarket. He breaks out on a suburban street and goes boogieing and shimmying around the neighborhood.
Yeah, right in front of He-Man and all these people.
Right.
It's a cool commercial, though, I gotta say. I don't really like the guy playing He-Man, but, I mean, Skeletor is hip, so it's awesome.
Yeah, no, I think they did Skeletor really well.
Yeah,
He-Man looked good, but, you know, that's
He-Man didn't look bad. I just like, if we turn this into a movie, do not pick that guy
right.
for He-Man.
Without a doubt.
Actually, I guess get better costume for Skeletor, but did y'all notice he had shades on, too?
Yes, yeah.
Well,
it's cool.
I thought the shape of his face, too, you know, it kind of went along with it. It just seemed comical. So.
It was funny. It was very funny, agreed. And the kid with the Havoc staff?
Right. Yeah, he shot the building by accident.
Yeah, he reminds me of one of my students. I really dug the commercial. It's an awesome commercial.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. Again, like I said, it came out of nowhere. So, and what Aaron said, you know, people are thinking, so, hey, maybe this can
go somewhere.
Yeah, it could buzz up some something, and people can hopefully have their ears open and hear the response, because it was all over my Facebook feed or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are reposting and reposting. So it's getting a little bit of buzz, man. It's definitely out there.
What did y'all think about He-Man buying as many bananas as he was, though? Like, I thought that was totally weird. I was like, what is he saying about He-Man?
Really? I didn't even notice that, to be honest with you. I only watched it once.
He has, like, two shopping carts full of bananas.
Really?
Like, more than, like, apes or monkeys would buy. Like ridiculous amounts of bananas. Like, I almost thought maybe, like, they were saying that He-Man's way of defeating Skeletor is, like, banana peels. Like, he's going to do the classic, like, banana peel. I'll get you, Skeletor!
Right.
Then Skeletor hits that sweet roll, you know. Just
or like, He-Man's poor, and he can't afford anything but bananas. You saw how small his car was, right? He's loaded this tiny car, and he's a big man.
Well, he don't have pockets for a wallet, so maybe you're right, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
You know,
yeah, he doesn't have pockets that doesn't have enough money. He's got a really small, like, hatchback, like, smaller than the hatchback.
Yeah, it's like a little Lego car. Yeah, it was definitely, definitely. Well, also, it was in the UK. They got definitely have smaller cars too. So maybe I don't know.
Well, yeah, instead of the attack track, he's got the hatch track.
No, that's awesome. Perfect, Aaron. Perfect.
Yeah, that was good. That definitely fits the name. If they're gonna make it, that'd be cool.
Okay, whoever designed this costume and the Havoc staff, though, they definitely need to release that. Like, they need to be like, they need to out the production company. The production company, or the prop company, needs to start making these, mass produce a couple of them. I want a Havoc staff like that for Party City. We got He-Man's sword already. I need that Havoc staff. That's more than just a toy.
That could be the slogan for it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. It definitely is. Again, man, stuff like this is what can make things happen. So, you know, little things here and there, man, it gets people buzzing, and hopefully, you know, it can get in the right ear.
Yeah, and this had a at the bottom of the post, it says, Masters of the Universe, He-Man, and Skeletor are no strangers to advertising. They've also previously appeared in a campaign for Honda. So, I don't know if you remember that Honda campaign.
The toy one, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That was like, what, last year?
Yeah, something like that. And then they also did – I remember when He-Man and Battle Cat showed up in the Super Bowl commercial a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's right.
For whatever it was, the company that Peanuts normally is their advertiser, you know, their mascot for. Hep Life? No, that doesn't sound like
MetLife, I think.
MetLife, not Hep Life.
MetLife. Yeah, usually they use Snoopy, but He-Man came in.
Yeah, and Battle
Cat. Yeah. It's cool, man. This stuff is cool. I love when this stuff comes out of nowhere, you know, and it's just like, wow. And I just, that's what I love. And it's, you know, it's cool.
I think we've spent like longer than the commercial analyzing this 1 minute commercial. I love it, though. It was great.
No, it gives me hope. It gives me hope for the future. Anytime that something pops up that we weren't expecting or something, you know, it's like, man, at least it's out there. People are thinking about it.
Yeah.
100%, man. I agree. I definitely totally agree.
Stuff like this will get my students to know who He-Man and Skeletor are, because, like, half of my students don't know who it is when I'm saying, like, and Skeletor.
Right. And you know what? Like, this gives them, like, what you're just saying. Like, you know, you talk about it or whatever. You have the figures out, you know, on your desk or whatever. Pictures pop up and people see it and they ask questions. And then they put two to two together and, you know, maybe it gets them curious. And they go on YouTube or whatever or Netflix now. And they start watching it. So it's crazy. It's just a cool like circle, you know, it just keeps going and going.
Yes,
it does. It's an awesome thing. It definitely is an awesome thing.
So Brian, what else do we have this week? We had some stuff about the PowerCon exclusives or.
Oh, that's right. I know they came, I saw
Pixel Dan video.
I didn't see the video yet, but I saw that Axel, he said that they renamed the Kitbash, you know, the Errol McCarthy figures.
Yes.
They renamed them. I forgot the names, but if you guys remember or see it. They renamed them. And what else did they do, Andrew? They reboxed, colored or something?
The art – and this is all good stuff. This is all good stuff. I actually think it improves the figures. A little bit of recolorization. And then the humanish character that comes in the three pack, because the mini comic three pack, I don't know if it's been changed. It doesn't look all that different.
No, don't.
I couldn't tell anything from that one. But the Earl, was it Earl McCarthy you said?
Yes.
Earl McCarthy designed, kit-bashed figures, if you want to call them. I think they're just better than that. But the three of those figures, they got a little bit of repaint, and then the human character, his vest was originally Hero's vest, or is originally Hero's breastplate, and they switched it because he's not going to have an H in his name. I believe the name had to do with a copyright issue that they couldn't copyright it.
Yeah, okay. Was it Hotshot to begin with?
I believe so, Hotshot.
Yes.
Hotshot is owned by Hasbro or something like that. Gotcha. So they changed the name, and because the H wouldn't match anymore, they gave him Laserlots armor, and I really like it. It looks really good, but aside from that, it's still the same looking, good-looking figure.
Right.
Kind of like a Fisto-like figure for those of you who don't even own Fisto. But, you know, they've come out and said that this figure is going to only be, you know, made to order from before the con. So they're going to go on sale like next month, like early in the next week or two. And when they go on sale, that's it. They're going to go for attendees and then non-attendees like they normally do.
Right.
And then it's done.
Right. Oh, so we got to do the pre-order next week, or are you saying, right?
Yeah, so originally originally it said April 1st, which we all know is Friday, I think,
yes.
of next week.
No, this
no, Friday of this week. Yeah. Oh, yes. God, I'm already thinking it's – yeah.
Right.
Friday of this week. Jeez. But and then I read a post that it might be the 8th, which,
okay.
if I go back to my calendar, will be the following Friday. So
okay.
it could be one of those 2 days. It could be the attendees are this Friday and the non-attendees are the following week. I do believe they're going to stagger it, like attendees first.
Right.
Get
That's
to order.
Yeah.
But they said there's not going to be extra at the show. You know, Super 7 is doing this. And in a way, I like that because Super 7 is basically saying that get your crap together, get it now ordered, or forever hold your peace.
Right. And you know what? It kind of brings a con exclusive to its name, you know? So
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, you if you want this figure, well, you're getting the opportunity to not go to the con. You can be a
non-attendee. You can still buy it, yeah. Well, they did this – I mean – remember, Mattel always did that with the Comic-Con exclusives, right? Well, they
yes.
were supposed to, at least, where yes. they would have stock for the show, and they'd have extra stock for after the show, but it would be limited. So we'd all be afraid and, you know, frantically trying to get the exclusive, right?
Right, right.
It didn't always work. I mean, we can
yeah.
talk about Rotan and Twistoid, where there are tons of people out there who are still missing.
Yeah.
And we were having a conversation about that
yeah.
earlier, so you know. But people have the availability to get it now, order it because it comes out in what, September, and if
right.
they order it now, they don't
you
have
can
to
save.
Be. Yeah, you can save. And,
yeah.
and on top of it, you know, I mean, there's also if you have friends that are going to get you extras,
right.
whatever, but they have to order them now. So like,
exactly.
I'll order an extra for some of my local friends, but you know. I gotta know soon, not later.
Yeah, you have a deadline, you know.
But there was
a deadline.
There will still be a pre-order that you can do, and still get your hands on the figures, right?
Yeah, yeah. The printer is going to be open to everybody, attendees first, and then everybody else. They're going to make the order, so they're not going to run out during the pre-sale, and that gives them enough time to make it, which is realistic. Because what about the time when they made the Mattel made the first set of minis for He-Man. Remember those minis with the little Castle Grayskull
yeah,
based on
yeah.
one game? It was
yeah.
those were great, but they sat in the store. They put them for Black Friday. They had extra stock. I'm sure
they were still
at the
available,
warehouse.
I believe, at the end of the
yes,
Maddie,
they were.
You know?
I wonder if like the Digital River warehouses had like a section that was just called the Comic-Con minis section,
right,
or just
right.
the Motu minis, because look, all the minis were available at the end. So.
It's true.
Yeah. So Super 7 is just covering themselves. They want to make sure they can make their money.
Yeah,
and
I
they
mean,
can still make them available.
You can't.
I like it.
You can't knock them for that because they might not have the space to carry all this stuff. Because you got to remember, they got to make extras in case for customer stock. You know, like
customer stock. Yes. Every company does that.
Yeah. So I mean, they're definitely going to have extras as it is, and they don't want extra on top of extra because they have so many products that they have to have extras of. So they
yes.
have to designate a certain spot in their warehouse or whatever just for customer satisfaction stock.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you've seen their stores. Their stores are small.
Yeah, they're really small. I mean,
they're awesome, you know, though.
But that, yeah, I mean, they're in your face. You're going to get what you want. And, you know, I don't know how big their warehouse is, but you can't not, you know, you know, they might be learning from what Digital River made mistakes. So,
you don't want to sink yourself in
right.
something too massive.
They were learning like the first day. Remember when they were really striving to get the international prices down for people?
Yeah,
they were already striving to make it easier on people and fix what Digital River couldn't fix.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing because
like international tracking.
There's a lot of international fans that got snubbed by that. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
Digital River is a mess.
Oh, they're terrible. They were the worst, man. They were the absolute worst. I mean, 5-second sellouts, ridiculous. Not for an online exclusive adult line. That's just
It was fairly frustrating.
You know what? I'd rather – I mean, I always lucked out. I got snubbed with Battle Cat, but I knew somebody there, and they hooked me up. But other than that, I mean, there's people that – I heard horror stories like, you know, they didn't get this character, this figure, whatever, because of the 5-second sellouts. And then, you know, you'd have Mattel come on or Maddie and say, oh, it wasn't a good sale because why? It didn't sell out in a minute and a half. I mean, it's sold out anyway in 5 minutes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it was nonsense. That really got me aggravated when they would say all that. I mean, listen, it's going to sell out eventually. Even if you wait till Black Friday or Cyber Monday, you know, people will buy it. And actually, people might wait till then because then they can afford it.
Yeah.
You know,
or you pick up the remainder of the stock. I mean, that's
right.
I like the way they're doing it because I think that really what it does is it makes it we don't know how many are going to be created. We don't know how many are out there. So it kind of adds a little mystique to the package for me because I don't know how many are getting made. And, you know, so I want to get my hands on it.
Yeah, and you know, Maddie Collector made so many of every figure, even the ones that were supposed to be limited, and someone out there is probably hoarding them. If people aren't going to be able to order like a ton of these, like you know,
I 100% agree with you. There's people out there that have probably hundreds of Fistos, hundreds of Tilas, you know, all the hard to get
two ones. Extra. Yeah. What is it? Rotar and Twistoids.
Yeah. Somebody just is sitting on a ton of Rotars. No, let me call somebody out. You made me think of it. David Carbuco, we call him the God Waffler. He goes on and he does a little thing the other day. He's kind of showing off his collection. And it honestly was like Batman, dude. They went down into like the underground Batcave area. It opened up a vault and lights kicked on and there's just like He-Man stock. Just
nice.
Sitting on pallets, on pallets, on pallets. So,
what, in this guy's house?
What does he have?
Yes, man. It's the God Waffler. It's where
what
all the toys come from.
If that's the God everything. Waffler. If that's the God Waffler, then I'm in. I'm like the King Lego my egos.
I'll be the prince, Adam.
Jesus. I'm telling you, man, I got to get a cat. Well, you know what? I actually did have a camera crew come to my house once. I was supposed to be in the show. The BBC America was having a show for people who collect things. I forgot the name of it, but the premise was people who collect
You're
things.
A hoarder. We know it, Brian. It's okay.
and that's the American definition. But somehow I got – I don't know how that even happened. Somebody – I think told me about it. So I inquired about it. I wrote him an email and lo and behold, they called me and, you know, going back and forth a month and a half later, I had a guy come here, camera crew, everything. They interviewed me. They were in my room. We did all the interviews. They took pictures of all my stuff. They took pictures of me outside, you know, with my arms crossed when they do the beginning and stuff. It was funny, man. But, it never went through. They never did it. It didn't get the green light.
I think it's funny, in the background, as Brian is telling that story, you can actually hear him opening up the vault and, like, going into the toy vault. So,
I'm telling you, man, my room is like a the Atlantis for adults, man. You can have a lot of fun here. Well, toy collectors more like it.
Yeah, you don't want to put out the wrong advertisement, Brian.
Exactly, exactly.
That's why I retracted at Brian's house.
That's why I retracted that statement quick. If we were gonna, when we were gonna have the PowerCon in New York, the Marriott.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was actually 5 minutes from my house, so I was gonna have everybody come back. You know, like all my friends and stuff come back here, barbecue on the Saturday instead of finding a place to eat. Like we always have to, you know, stuff like that.
Where would you put all your stuff? Or do you not have that many friends?
I don't have that many friends. No, I mean, all my stuff is in the basement. I mean, you know.
Oh, you have basements in New York. Oh, yeah. In Texas, I missed that. I have no basement. I suck. Mm. That's what you're talking about with the Lord Waffler. I forget about basements.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah. They're a big thing over here. You need to have them. So.
Yeah, man, that's where we go when the storms take place, man. You got to get down and get some cover.
Yeah, we just get pulled up by the tornado. Really, that's why we're in Hurricane. Oh, what? Not Hurricane Tornado Alley. Go figure.
Andrew, you're not from Texas, are you?
I'm in Texas. Yeah.
No. I mean, are you from Texas?
Oh yeah, I'm from St. Louis. I mean, I remember having a basement. It's been like decades. I mean, I haven't lived in St. Louis since I was a little kid, like in the 80s.
Oh wow. Well, you know what I found the other day? I was flipping through the channels. It was He-Man on the Spanish station.
Yes.
It was sick. I'm watching this thing. My wife's like, why are you watching this? It's in Spanish. I'm like, I understand everything.
Mucho Telemundo.
I know what they're saying.
She always catches me watching Lucha Libre. And they don't speak a lick of English. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm watching it for the wrestling.
Yeah, for the moves and the masks.
Man. That's it.
So, Andrew, you was going to ask you guys, I guess, because I haven't been to PowerCon, so okay. I'm not familiar with, you know, what all goes on. So for everybody out there that's listening that hasn't had the opportunity to do that yet, talk about it and tell me how it goes. And
well, first off, you got to get your hiney out there, man. Because I'm telling, if you're a He-Man fan, A, it's one place to see cool stuff, and B, you finally put a face to the person that you've been talking to for years online.
Yeah,
you know, it was really cool to finally meet people like Andrew and, you know, all the people.
Well, I mean, we met at San Diego, yeah. but it was nice to see you again. It was like, oh yeah, let's go hang out with some friends, my He-Man friends.
But that's what I mean. It's just it's finally cool to put a face to that person that you actually talked to for so long or whatever. And you know, you're there for one reason. So it's not like a San Diego where you're running around for Star Wars, Batman, Wolverine. So you're there for one reason, for Masters, and it's really cool. Definitely, you got to check it out. It's really not that expensive. I mean, it is a little, but I mean, if you save, if you know you want to go, you can start saving right away. Yeah. I mean, I booked my room as soon as they had the date. You know, I booked everything, the flight and the room. The only thing I got to do now is the shuttle bus.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, you can do it right. And again, to me, just being around people that enjoy the same thing you do, it's completely awesome. I mean, you really can't beat that.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to a couple of times in the past, I think, you kind of describing some of your PowerCon experiences and things that have happened that were really cool. And it really does gets me amped up. You know, I'd like to go do that, check that out, and meet the people that you hear and talk to.
Right.
Yeah, man. Interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't make it this year, you know, maybe next year we can actually do a podcast from there. You know, that'd be fun. I mean,
yeah,
man. Really cool. I mean, I know the other guys are master
from Brian's room.
We could. We definitely could one day. If PowerCon ever came to New York, man, I mean, like I said, it's a 5-minute drive to the Marriott from my house.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just meet in New York and we'll do a WaffleCon.
We could do that too.
So we'll have WaffleCon and get everybody together.
We could do that
too. Would it be just a bunch of waffles though? Like, I mean, would you serve waffles too? Would you have like
Oh man,
it'd be like, oh yeah, man, you're the guy that won. Let's kick his butt.
Different flavored maple syrup.
Muhammad Kalamchi can never show up because that guy won and won and won and everybody just hates him. So yeah, you don't want to see him in real life. But we fleshed it out. We talked about it. What if we had a WaffleCon? We'd have like a real live wheel that we actually just put your name on the wheel and spin it. You know, like the Price is Right wheel.
Yeah,
it could be.
Bob Barker.
Your entrance gets you so many raffles or something like that.
It's right.
That would just be different. But hey, no worries.
All right. So do you want to explain your experience?
Oh, yes. PowerCon for me is always about going to see some friends. I've got friends that go to PowerCon. I've got some local friends, one that went to PowerCon. It's that Trap Jaw guy. I think y'all know who that Trap Jaw guy is. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
Nick. Yeah, he's the one that has all the Trap Jaws. If you're missing Trap Jaws, you know where it went. Anyhow, he actually, you know, he showed up this year. He's got his Instagram group that's already out there, always going. In fact, we were talking about it Saturday that he's going again this year. Then there's you know, there's the guys who do customs, not like custom figures, but they actually like cast stuff, like ECT toys, I think it is, and the Misfit Toy Group. They're always out there and they're always doing cool killer stuff. Victor, and I forget his last name now, I'm very sad, but he came out from Iceland to go last year to PowerCon. But, you know, it's the people. The people make the con. I mean, the volunteer staff, they're all He-Man fans. It's not like they just pulled someone off off the street and said, hey, would you like to go work at the convention? They're He-Man fans. You got people like Daniel Benedict, who did the Fall of Grayskull short film, as well as
the comic.
Castle Grayskull Man and the comic for Fall of Grayskull. He did Castle Grayskull Man and those hilarious commercials, and so he's there. He's helping out. You got people.
The Horsemen.
You got the Horsemen are always there. Nate with Nate Barch, I think it is.
Yes, Barchnik. I can't say
Barchnik. Yeah, Barchnik. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. pronounce his name. I'm always bad with names, by the way. If I ever butcher anyone's name on here, I apologize profusely. But he's there. He's got some of his art to show off. A lot of it He-Man themed. The Four Horsemen were selling some of their Mythic Legion early there. They had people selling. Oh my god, they had besides custom stuff. There was custom stuff from Germany there that I bought a ton of. A He-Man styled figure. There was He-Man's original prototype, the one that the Guerrera guy did, the one with the Conan helmet.
Yeah,
the body. I got a custom piece of that that I still got to paint. It's still sitting on my shelf over here near me that I got to paint.
Was it like cast, or was it like just a...
Yeah, it's a cast, and all the pieces come apart, so I'm going to glue it together after I've painted it. But it comes with a base, an axe, and it's just so bad. I mean, I'm literally working on painting. I painted the axe like 2 weeks ago, so it's still in the process. I got a lot of paint jobs I got to do right now. But there's just so many things. I bought He-Man magnets, not vintage magnets, but like the guy from Germany casted these heads, these Motu heads from the vintage figures, and they're on my refrigerator. Like, I can open my refrigerator, and after I close it, I'm like, hey, there's He-Man and Merman. You know what I mean? it's just some badass stuff. Then there's stuff like John Starkey, who was selling a lot of classics, of course, and a lot of vintage stuff. There was just Pete LaRose was there selling all different kinds of weird oddities. Oh my god, I was buying as many of the Chinese books, these Chinese or Korean Motu books that have just the weirdest – like art styled after the mini comics, but they're completely different stories. I was finding Russian, masters comics, Super 7, who had their exclusives there, and they're going to be there, of course, this next year or this year. Who else was there? Oh, we had Alan Oppenheimer, the voice of Skeletor, who was willing to do a voicemail for you, or your voicemail intro for you, on your phone. I really want to specify the lady who created the concept for She-Ra was there, and she's relatively unknown in the community as far as I'm aware of. And she was just there to tell you and to share her details. She shared She-Ra and Princess of Power concept art, which was just amazing.
Yeah.
Or when we saw the concept figures that the brothers, I forget their names, the two guys who work on Monster High,
Right, that's right, yeah.
They showed off the She-Ra doll that Mattel made, and then they showed us concept art and stuff that we've never seen. The Whispering Woods playset.
That's right.
Was that like more of a Savage? Because I think I've seen some. Was it a Savage look at She-Ra, kind of?
The concept art, maybe. Like a little bit, but still very... female friendly, she wasn't like Red Sonja or anything. She was her own girl's line that she talked about how she developed it. I think she developed Bo with that heart, the visible heart, because of, I guess, her own broken heart from her family. It was an interesting experience that I can say that may never be replicated again. Who knows? Maybe this next PowerCon, but each year is different, and there's panels to go to. There's screenings. I watched all the fan movies all at once while I was drinking heavily, and it was so much fun. And I think we have it at the Torrance Hotel every time. And the Torrance Hotel is very inviting. They've got food there. There's restaurants nearby. For, me and you, Brian, we went with a whole group to go have dinner. And that was a blast.
Of course.
And they serve Eternian lagers. What? They serve Eternian lagers.
I think they do have drinks with names. Or am I getting that confused with something else? But
The San Diego Comic-Con party. We had at Comic-Con, the power party at Comic-Con had He-Man themed drinks, which were just ungodly good. But that's without saying. I mean, anything with He-Man themed anything is gonna be good. He-Man themed underwear with underoos, they're awesome.
Yes.
So
must have.
PowerCon is just like, it's the ultimate experience, as Brian already said. It has everything that you think you'd want to see there. It has rarities, it has oddities, it has your friends. It's like a big family. Like, I can't specify it enough. And it happens in September, so people have enough time to plan for it. There's plenty of hotels nearby.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not that far from the airport.
I got locked out of the Marriott one year, and I forgot the hotel's name, but it's right across the freeway or the high, whatever that is.
Yeah,
the
street, it's right across the
avenue.
Street.
I mean, it's in walking distance, so it's not bad. There's hotels all over the place.
And there's plenty of parking outside, but they also have covered parking in the parking garage. I learned that the hard way because we parked in the parking garage for money, and then like I see this gigantic parking lot going, ooh,
yeah,
why did I do
huge.
That?
Huge. they have a lot of parking there.
Yeah, and we got – what was it last year that we got – we went and got like ice cream or something, or we got like frozen yogurt. We got frozen yogurt, and then we hit up the Toys R Us and the Walmart for no reason other than to search for more toys.
That's
if
right.
we didn't see enough toys for the weekend, it was like, let's go look for some more.
Yeah, I'm always down, man. I love toy hunting. It's fun.
It is. I saw so many rare items there too, but you know there were vendors that had Transformers. They had vintage He-Man. They had they had so much stuff. He-Mike was there. Is it He-Mike?
Yes, yeah. He was there. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing though. They got last year was a big difference from prior years because I remember all the other years was basically just classics figures. You know, like besides Pete, I mean, everybody was selling classics, and I was just like, come on, you know.
Everyone, I mean, we're there because we've been collecting classics and not just
because
the classics are the main thing in our lives. I mean, there were classics there this last year and people were – there was even Evil Seed was somehow made available. I'm pretty sure it's because they bought them from a Mattel store. But, there was some people that had Evil Seeds that they were selling early, the Filmation Evil Seed. But, you know – there was a lot of stuff. I actually really enjoyed the bootleg booth. I collect bootlegs. I'm the one that brought a bunch of TMNT bootlegs last year. And there were people with so many bootlegs. They had the giant-sized Mexico bootlegs. They had – I was a little happy. I was happy. I was a little crazy with my purchasing. I think I spent over $1,000 last year, and I was not meaning to. I think I went with $600 going. That was my limit. And then I'm like, oh, wait, do you take card?
That's always the downfall, man.
So easy to do, though. Yeah. I mean, with all that stuff, it's got to be. I wouldn't trust myself there.
It's a good thing my girlfriend doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'm telling you, Aaron, it's definitely, if you're a He-Man fan, Masters fan, She-Ra fan, you got to get there because it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, you could definitely find some cool stuff that you didn't even know existed sometimes. I mean, it's just really cool to go to and have a good – you have a blast. I mean, from the second I get there till I don't want to leave, you know, it's like – it's just a lot of fun.
You know what else last year? They had cookies. They had He-Man themed cookies that were He-Man, you know, in the classic Filmation in front of Grayskull pose. They also had Granamere, Green Granamere, and Red Beast Man on cookies, and they were the coolest.
Right.
That's awesome.
And let's not forget our buddy Tom Breisky. He makes these awesome little buttons.
Yes. Yes. The Filmation
year,
buttons.
Yes. Every year he makes a set, I believe, of the Filmation Masters buttons.
Yes.
And a set of She-Ra buttons, or
correct.
Like all different, you know,
characters, poses.
And he usually makes like T-shirts. He makes cool stuff. I mean,
oh yeah, both you and me purchased the Ribs T-shirt from the movie.
Yes,
we both
purchased
a baseball tee that was styled after the brand of Ribs that Gildor used in the He-Man movie, Masters of the Universe.
Chicken? Is it?
Yeah.
No,
oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's so cool.
Like it's the three-quarter sleeves, like the old 70s, early 80s, you know, like, it's just sweet.
I thought they were baseball tees, but I mean, go figure. You would know better than me.
And
they were cool.
The year prior to that, he made Fuzura T-shirts.
Yes.
He just makes great. Yeah. He makes really cool stuff, you know. It's and it's really not that expensive.
The person next to him actually had – what did he have? He had the Mossman stuff, right? The Mossman customs and the Mossman pictures.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yes.
And Dave – is it Dave Wilkins? The guy who did the big He-Man poster, the really modern-looking one, the one that looked like it could have been a movie poster for a Masters movie. Did you see that? I ended up catching up with him at Comic-Con and picking it up because I passed on it like one too many times and then I couldn't get it anymore. So I had to get it. When I saw him at Comic-Con, I was like, please, please, please. It was great. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just you could get so much. And then like, this year I know Meg Foster is going to be there.
The Masters movie.
Oh, that's so awesome.
She played Evelyn in the 87 movie.
I found the name. It was Robbie's Ribs.
Yes, it was Robbie's Ribs. That's what I got.
Robbie's Ribs.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be other people too, because it's just, you know, people want to. I mean, what's her name? Pickles, Christina Pickles, that played the sorceress. She was there last year. She usually comes a lot.
Yes.
You know, they get. Then you had Brian Dobson, who played Skeletor in the 2000X, and it
That's
great.
We had a lot of 2000X voice actors who also do stuff for like Once and other TV series. So like, it was a good invitation for like a girlfriend to see. You know, like, hey, bring, because, you know, I brought, when we went, I brought a friend of mine who lives in Los Angeles. I paid for his ticket because I stayed with him the Friday night. And, you know, he didn't have the money to come in. So I was like, oh, I'm getting your ticket. And he came in and he was like, Alan Oppenheimer actually voiced a bunch of Transformers. And there was just a bunch of stuff that, you know, you could do, and you don't have to be a big He-Man fan because my friend likes He-Man as much as he likes other 80s properties, but like, he is Ghostbusters and Transformers crazy. And he ended up purchasing a bunch of Transformers from a booth, the same guy that I saw at South by Southwest last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
2 weekends ago. Yeah, 2 weekends ago. Yeah. But we got Meg Foster, and then I did see online that Michael Donovan, who played the 2000X
Randall.
Randor, Count Marzo, Tongue Lasher, and Roboto is going to be there. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's and usually like they do panels, and that's when they break out in their voices and stuff. But a couple of years ago when Brian Dobson was there, they had Skeletor versus Skeletor. They had Alan Oppenheimer versus Brian Dobson in the Skeletor voices. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah, there's a video of that out there where they're playing with their respective characters, and one of the cosplay girls are in the background.
It's awesome. Yeah, she's the one that wins every year, that girl that's dressed up as Skeletor, I believe, in that one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she wins every year, so it's like kind of hard for other people to win because she goes all out, that girl. She's like, she does. She's a professional, bro. She goes all over.
It's absolutely solid. If you've seen that video, I mean, that is solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, stuff like that, you run into there, you never know. I mean, stuff like that, as a He-Man fan, you can really, really, you know, take to the heart. So stuff like that. It just happens there. It's cool. It's just out of the ordinary, you know?
I think this is one of the definitive He-Man conventions. I mean, there's still Grayskull Con in, Germany. But, I mean, this is the definitive one. This is the one where we get the most.
Yeah. I mean, Grayskull Con just looks, like, crazy good. I mean, I really would love to get there one day. I mean, it's just insane. But this is, I would say, the United States version of a power, you know, of a Comic Con for He-Man, dedicated strictly for the Masters of the Universe. He-Man.
Yep. Oh, and Alex, Axel's always there too. I just remembered.
Yeah. He's there. He's good people, man.
He is.
He's good people. I mean, it's all in all, if you're a fan, you need to get there at least once, because you'll want to go every year. I mean, that's what I, you know, when I found out about it, I was like, I got to get there. This is amazing, you know. And every year, I meet more people, and then all the other things that I go to, I see them, meet their friends, and lo and behold, we know each other from online or whatever. So it's just pretty cool, man. It's, again, you put a face to these people that you talk to a lot or whatever, you know, interact with them.
Yeah, and it's completely awesome. It's definitely something I've got to do at some point or another.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't make it this year, I'm sure they're probably going to do it next year, and it's start saving your waffles.
Yeah, man. Yeah, put your waffles up.
Oh, God. We, you know what though, if you did go, we could have like a special like waffle meeting or waffle gathering, like for breakfast one day, and like go like find a Waffle House and just take it over, or
well,
like
Denny's is on the corner.
What?
Denny's is on the corner.
Yeah, Denny's on the corner. We could make it a waffle party and see if we can like reserve half the place in the morning one day.
Yeah, man,
that would be fun.
We'll do a live waffle with some of the exclusives. That would be cool.
That could be fun. Awesome. Well, then I guess you got to buy a ticket, Aaron. I guess you have no choice.
Yep. You have to get on it. I have to talk to Mama about that.
Well, you know what? Brian's looking for a roommate.
Yeah, I'm only staying one night, man.
Well, the thing is, if I'm into this thing, I might permanently be looking for a roommate. So it's, you know.
You'll be in the doghouse forever, huh?
Oh, man, she puts up with my obsession as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good, man. My wife's good like that, too, so. She puts up with my insanity with toys. All right, guys.
What else we got?
Well, I think I'm going to have to close it out, only for the fact is that I'm a wrestling nerd, and I gotta watch the Raw before WrestleMania.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So, I mean, we pretty much hit everything anyway. You guys have anything you want to close out with before we send it off?
Oh, no, I'm good, man. That's I thought it was a good discussion. That was awesome. I appreciate you guys hanging out and
fun.
Doing the thing, yeah. and talking. So, yeah, thanks for letting me be on again, and we'll pick it up next week.
I want to shout out to ETC, because I said that wrong, ECT. It's ETC Toys. Tim, who I actually met at PowerCon this last year, does it, and he released a little trap jaw recently, and I think they're almost sold out. I bought one just today, but just
what
shout out to him. It's like a
what
little trap
little?
Jaw figure. It's a carded little trap jaw figure. It's like painted by my friend, that trap jaw guy, and it's casted by ETC Toys, and it's just absolutely kick ass. It's like $40.
Like the little reaction type figures? Or
no,
than
it
that?
Reminds me of a what is it called? Cabbage Patch. It looks like a Cabbage Patch version of Trap Jaw, little action figure version on a
really?
Card. And it looks so cool, and I can't wait to get mine in the mail. I just ordered one today. I think they had a couple left, so I was really happy with that.
little trappy.
Yeah.
Like what? Little trappy, exactly.
Little trappy.
Yes, if you guys can Google ETC Toys.
Yes, I think it came up.
Yeah, a little trappy. It looks so cool, and I'm sure they're going to sell it now if they haven't already. Yeah, it's the Filmation edition, and they said that they'll never be able to make it again because the molds are broken or something. So it looks cool, and I bought myself one today.
Does it come with like extra attachments, extra arms, or
I couldn't tell, but the card doesn't look like it. But I'm cool either way because I'm not going to open it up. It comes carded. It's like you open custom toys. Like they're never going to be another one made for it.
Right. Yeah, they're kind of like a one of a kind.
Who's going to open his plastic prison?
I don't see anything as far as attachments, but it looks like the right arm is maybe the blaster gun.
Yeah.
Cool. That's really sweet, though.
It looks really cool, and I just figured that was going to be something fun to add to my collection. And he also did the Skeletor bust. It's not on his website right now, but he's the one that did the Skeletor, like, professional in a suit bust, and I've got one on my desk. So, I mean, you know, he's good people.
That's great. That's cool.
So
different.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool. All right, cool. Well, guys, thanks. Thanks for the listeners, man. I hope you guys are enjoying this at home because we enjoy doing it. So just want to say check out popculturenetwork.com because Dirt's the man. Check out HeManWorld.com. Check out HeMan.org. I said dot this time.
Yeah.
spoke to Val about that. Check out the Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. And until next time, guys, rock on, man. We'll be right back.